This is Ashley Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, number 34. And I guess I'll call this taper time. I guess I'm officially in taper mode for my November 9th marathon. However, my mileage this week is still pretty significant. I think it's 34 scheduled. That's if I do an 18-miler this coming weekend, but I don't think I'm going to need to do that. So I'll probably take 4 miles off of that. And actually, I'm getting ready to run up a hill, but I'm going to put my water bottle down and just leave it down here at the bottom instead of running with it. So I'll probably end up doing 30, but let me talk about my 20-miler this past weekend, which went really good. Started at 7 Saturday morning. Tom Grant emailed out to a group of folks, and lots of people came out. Tom was doing 20 also. And so we had different people to run with. We did 4 5-mile loops through the town. And man, I was feeling great at my top, right up to mile 15. And I talked my wife into running another 2 miles with me. She picked me up at mile 10. And I got 7 out of her. And then I was left on my own devices for the last 3. And had to dig a little deep, but I made it. It was hard, though. Running 20 miles, and you're running for, I guess, about 3 hours. I think I was a little bit over 3 hours. So I got my 40 for the week. The most I've ever run in a week. Now, if you're listening to this podcast and 40 miles a week is no big deal to you, then I recommend you fast forward. This is running podcast, an ordinary nobody who putts along for long distances, nothing special. But I am a running enthusiast, so this podcast is mostly about running, things having to do with running, talking about running, and then I actually do it when I'm running. It's not about politics. I just ran up a hill, that's why I'm so winded. I'm about a mile into a 5 to 7 mile training run. Haven't decided the distance yet. It'll depends how I feel at mile 4. Anyways, podcast is not about politics, religion, books, computers, cars, sports, organized sports other than running. Matter of fact, it's not really about the sport of running. It's for competitors. It's just, I guess, what I do when I'm running. So you'll hear me overanalyze ad nauseum certain issues that float through my head while I'm doing my long runs. And that's the point of the podcast. Just going to share thoughts with fellow runners. And after 33 episodes, it's gone by pretty good. I've gotten some very nice feedback from people, made some new friends, learned a lot about myself in the process. Somehow I've been able to get out a weekly show. So if you're joining me for the first time, welcome. And we're going for a run. I did something today that I don't normally do, and that's I got in the car to go run, to drive to a running area. I've been running so much flat here lately, I decided to run on hills this afternoon, and it is the week of October 24th, 2008. And I picked my favorite road, Blunt's Bridge, which is all hills. Up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. That's all it is. So that's what I'm going to do for the majority of my training run today, is up and down, up and down. Now, that's probably not the smartest thing to do if you're officially tapering for a marathon, which is what I'm doing. But I don't really think it's going to hurt me much, because I'm really just kind of running the surface of my route, which happens to be up and down hills. So, use some different muscles today, and it would have taken me too long to run from my house to this area, so I decided to drive. And when I came out, I had a place in mind that I was going to park. It's actually a kind of a pull off the road that I've cut through before while running. It's got all these no trespassing signs up now, and they look like new signs. Haven't seen them before. So the property owner, well, when I've been cutting through there, I've noticed that there have been kids have been back up in there drinking beer and whatnot. So I guess he's posted it. I won't be able to run through there anymore. I easily respect those signs. People usually don't put them up unless they've had problems. So I try to respect that. So here I am on Blunt's Bridge Road, running up and down the hills. And if anybody who's a regular listener, or even is local to Ashland, knows about Blunt's Bridge Road, then you'll know what I'm in for. But I just had to get out of the mold. You know, stepping out the door. I mean, I'd already envisioned in my head running that same 5 mile route, the default route. Oh, here we go, back down. And kind of a last minute thing, when I was leaving the house, I told my wife, oh yeah, I'm gonna drive out and run Blunt's Bridge. Not really sure what got into me, but so my 20 miler felt really good to get that done. Man, especially because a couple weeks prior to that, at the end of September, I had done 18 in the humidity, which was almost a disaster. Just brutal. Didn't really enjoy the run. Got the miles in, but didn't enjoy it as much. And I'm not doing 220 milers. I just did the one. The other week I was scheduled for a 20 miler. It was the same week as the endurance, 24 hours of endurance run. And sore as I was after that weekend, I guess I kind of made up for it, but nothing equals 20 miles except for running 20 miles. So that's why I'm debating whether I should do 18 next weekend. It's almost 20 miles, but it's not quite. But it's 2 weeks out from the race, and I'm trying a 3 week taper this time, so I think what I might do is I shave it down to 14, do 30 for the week, which is 5.74, or if I do 7 today, 7.54. Not sure what I'll do. Pick up 14 on Saturday morning, make it 30 for the week, and then the next week's even easier with the 8 miler the week before the race. Man, I'm getting close. So I'm really, I was really encouraged by the 20 miler. Been a while since I've done that distance, and being that I got some two marathons, November, December, and then an ultra in January, the 50K, it just felt good to get a good solid 20 miles in. I did have some foot pain in my left foot that developed in the late miles. Not debilitating, but nonetheless, it was hard to kick the pain thoughts out of my head. And unfortunately for the rest of the day after the 20 miler, I was on my feet for most of it, because that was the birthday party for Ashland, 150 years. So we walked around and looked at exhibits, you know, just kind of mingled on the street. They had all kinds of stuff going on, the organizers. Probably didn't help matters much. Then I ushered at church on Sunday morning. I was on my feet. But we went to a soccer game Sunday afternoon. And I got to sit, so that was nice. I did tend to overanalyze a little bit. And the reason that 20-mile training run was so important is because, for me, that's the psychological barrier to get to 26.2, is to have a successful 20 something miler. Some training programs will have you go to 22 miles. And I say, it's not necessary. 20 miles is good enough. But then you would think, okay, well, wouldn't 18 be good enough? Well, 18's not 20, and 20 is two times 10, and 10 miles is double digits. I think it's all psychological. Puts you through to the next stage, which is the final 10K, which is very hard to do after 20 miles. But I made it, and here I am 2 days later, not as really sore. I was sore on Sunday, not injured, just so thankful that I'm not suffering from an injury that'll put me out. I really want to get this marathon done. See how I feel at the end. Be my fourth. Never thought I'd be at this point. Not ever. When I got home, I was looking at my average pacing, and I think it was right at 10 minutes 19 seconds a mile, or 10:24. Can't remember what it was, but I remember thinking that I gotta go just a little faster to break 4.5 hours. So I'm not a fast marathoner by any means. Fast in my own head, but not compared to folks that are knocking down 6-7 minute miles. I won't do that. I won't be there in my lifetime. Maybe if I get reincarnated as a elite runner, I'd have a chance at it, but not in this lifetime. I've totally accepted that. I'll tell you one thing, though. If you've never run a marathon and you're running your first one and you cross the finish line, you won't even be worried about those other people. They won't even be in your thoughts at all. You won't even think about them. You just be thinking about yourself and your training partners and the people that got you there, your family, people that gutted it out with you, people that were there every Saturday morning with you, going through their own mystery of endurance in their own head, how they're going to get to the end. It really kind of becomes you kind of get your head in a shell. It's hard to get blinders on, and it's hard to get outside of that once you get in a little land of misery. It's called a marathon for a reason, not a walk in the park. But I think I'm going to be okay. 20 mile gave me a lot of confidence. I kind of had a lot of confidence anyway. Not overly confident, but I've covered the distance before, so I know I can do it. But each time it's been a little different, and I just needed to get that 20 miler in. And at the end of that 20 miler, I think I could have kept going if I had to. But what happens is that when you're at 15, 16, 17 miles, all you're thinking about is how much you have to run for that day. So I was just thinking of 20. But I was still on my feet. I still had energy. And if that was race day, I would have somehow got to the end. I was telling Monica I wish that day was race day because I was feeling just so good mentally. I was up. I guess I was having a very high biorhythms day. But I gotta wait a few more weeks. So I was looking at some of my training runs, the distances. I actually got a 2-miler for race week. And that reminded me of how last week I laughed of having a 3-miler to run. I can't remember the last time I ran a 3-miler. Just didn't happen. So running a 2-miler would be real nice. But that's a few weeks from now. I might have said that I'm running hill repeats because I'm kind of crazy. And I've got a 1/4-mile section of Bloodsbridge Road that I'm going up and down. It's my favorite section of the road because it's in the shade, even though I don't really need the shade today. There's enough room to run on the side of the road if cars come past. Pretty much exactly 1/4-mile up and down. And I think I've done about 6 right now. I'm on my 7th. I kept telling myself I need to put a pile of pebbles on the side of the road and count them off that way because I lose track, especially if I'm talking to myself. But I've been running past some roadkill, and it's on the uphill side. I'm running against traffic. And a vulture keeps popping out of the woods. I guess it's a vulture. It's a big black bird. Very large. And when I run past the roadkill, I'm able to take a look at it. And a little bit more is gone. And it's a possum, I think, that's being disemboweled. There goes the vulture again. He just kind of pops back in the woods. It's a big bird. I'm going to break off a little bit from my normal talking about running. I'm going to talk about the podcast for a few minutes. Because got a couple noteworthy things that I want to share with regular listeners and any new listeners. Because most people probably don't know how many other people are listening. So I thought I'd share that. And it's more than 10, less than 200. Right now I got almost just under 3,000 hits on the website. And that is ashlanddave.podbean.com. ashlanddave. podbean.com. Podbean's a podcast hosting service. And each episode looks like it has about 140 feeds. And what that means, I just made the hill again, I'm all winded. That's people that either subscribe through iTunes or some other method. So that's not people that are hitting the site and downloading it manually. Those are people that have already decided that they like the show and they want it automatically sent to them every week. And I think that's pretty cool. So if you're listening and you get it fed to you, you're one of about 140 folks. And that's about what's averaged for each episode. I'm able to check to see if anybody bothers. So I do check that periodically because I'm kind of curious. And it's kind of grown a little bit over the last 30-some weeks. So I'd like to thank everybody for for listening. It's kind of fun to do it. It's a good way to kill some miles. I mean, God, I'm already past 3 miles running up and down this silly ass hill. That's this roadkill. I didn't think there'd be roadkill out here when I selected this area to run. So I guess I gotta decide here in a few minutes if I wanna go 5 or 7. I think I'll wait till the 4 mile mark. My wife was kind of in a bad mood when I got home from work, so my daughter was having trouble with her math homework, so maybe I'll stay out here a little longer. Who knows? But anyway, that's the deal with the podcast. So it looks like people are listening, which I thank you. It's not in the thousands or anything. It's just over 100 people that look like they're picking it up regularly. Take a little water break. And I think that's really cool. So feel free to email me, ashlanddave@gmail.com. You know, positive comments are always welcome. Criticism is not. You can do that behind my back elsewhere. All right. I got to get some new shoes. The 2130s I'm training in now are losing their cushion. Or at least I'm becoming overly sensitive to the what's underneath the sole. I got an email from Rich, which I'll talk about later. He gets some real cushioned shoes, and I think I might have to put the money out so I can break them in before the marathon. And I could probably wear them in the Charlotte Marathon, too. Man. I did a bunch of extra work for Christmas money, and looks like I'll be spending 100 of that on new running shoes. But gotta take care of your feet. I've gotten to the point where I'm just rubbing Vaseline all over the edges of all my toes before I put my running socks on, just so they don't get all chewed up, the foot moving around in the shoe. Shoes are big enough, it's just toes aren't that tough. I guess I gotta get to the store here shortly. Just hate spending so much money. God. Cause all you do is wear them out quick. Alright, I'm done with my hills. I think I did 8. Yeah, that's about right. Well, no, it couldn't be, because each one's a quarter, so up and down's a half. I'm not quite at 4 miles. I think it's 7. Ah, sounds good. See, I lost track. I should have put them pebbles by the side of the road so I could count them out. I'm actually running on the road. Never run on before. I'm just going to do a little out and back and see how I feel at 4. Make a decision at that point if I'm going to go beyond that. Probably should, because I have the time. Feeling pretty good. I was kind of thinking about 5 when I first came out here, and it's hard to let go of that. That means I'll be done soon. I go home. I think we've got some pork tenderloin for dinner tonight. I did sneak a little peek in the oven, and so maybe I could burn off another 2 miles worth of calories and then eat some grub and put it down. I started using these things called Boost. It's an energy drink, chocolate flavored. I did 2 of them. Ooh, I don't know if I want to go down this hill. This is steep. I did 2 of them during the 20 miler. I did it as an experiment to see if that worked better than trying to eat pretzels or stuff like that. And It worked really good. It's an 8-ounce drink. And it's got 45 grams of carbs, some protein. It does have fat in it. Probably more that's more than necessary. But man, it works. And because I can't eat gummy bears, I can't chew those while I'm running and breathe. It kind of messes up my system. I tend to breathe them in and they clog up my oxygen intake. And I've tried pretzels before on really long runs and they just dry my mouth out and I can't get them chewed down. So I tried this Boost and it worked pretty good. It didn't help the pain in my foot, but the only thing that's going to cure that is no running and ice. All right, I'm almost at 4 miles. God, I can't decide what to do. I really just want to go home. That means I got to do a 7 mile later, 7 mile or later in the week. That's 4. I'll put the decision off another couple of tenths. I'm trying to think if I can do 7 later in the week. Should be able to. I'm not sure what the temperatures are going to be, but it was dropped down significantly. And I've got a whole cord of wood that was dumped in my driveway I need to stack. I think I'll just run back to the car. That's going to be just over 5. That's good enough.
Yeah, I did just 5. I was really wanted to get the 7-miler out of the way beginning of the week, but I ended up doing that later in the week and did a 4-miler, 7-miler, and then I'm going to do a race on Saturday morning. It's a 10K, but I won't really be racing. I'm just going to sign up and do it because it's a local race here in Ashland called the Harvest Run. I'll put a link on the in the show notes for that, even though by the time you look at it, if you're listening, the race will be over with. But I'll probably do 8 miles before the race because it doesn't start till 9, and that'll give me 14, and that'll give me 30 for the week, and that should be good enough for me. So let's get to the email bag section of the show. Let me go retrieve the email bag. Let me get that. Hang on a second. Drop it all out here. All right. Well, the first one actually is not an email. It's a review on iTunes from Sean at Trilogy Running. Sean, appreciate it, man. I've only gotten 6 reviews on iTunes since I've been doing the show, and which is cool. I mean, I'm not too worried about it or anything, but all of them have been very positive, which is very nice. And Sean, I appreciate you adding one on there. It's very nice. And I'm going to add a link to Sean's podcast, which is called Trilogy Running. I'll put that in the show notes. It's a good podcast. It's kind of just recorded audio of him running with his brother generally, and just talking about things that cross through their minds. They're pretty funny when they run together. So check that out. Sean, appreciate it. The next one actually was part of a conversation I had with Mark Junkerman. Mark Junkerman is the race director for the 24 Hours of Endurance, or 24 Hours of Momentum race that I participated in a couple weeks ago with the running team. And he had seen my video of that, and he wants to use it to promote his event next year. And I had offered that to him because he had sent an email out to all the participants asking for any race stories to use for next year to promote the event. And I just sent him a link to the video and said, hey man, watch it. If there's anything in it that you think you want to promote your event, let me know, and or you can edit it or do whatever. So he's asked for some help with getting it edited down, and I'll be happy to do that for him. So Mark, look forward to talking to you more about that. And man, that's pretty cool if you want to use that. That'd be pretty neat. And Mark said that he's got a couple races planned in Ashland for next year, one in the spring and one in the fall, and asked for help in any connection. So I'll be happy to put him in touch with people that seem to be the movers and shakers in Ashland when it comes to races. I'm more of a participant and a spectator. So anyway, Mark, we'll be talking about the video, man. Appreciate it. I got a very funny email from a guy named Jay from Texas. And Jay When I first started reading his email that he sent me, I thought he was kind of slamming on me. But as I read it more, I realized he's got a good sense of humor. So let me read his email. Quote, "Thanks for linking the Texas Independence Relay onto your site and for mentioning the event during the answering email portion of your 33rd episode. However, I must say that I found the extent of your coverage of the TIR, which stands for Texas Independence Relay, to be somewhat lacking. You mentioned it for a total of 3 seconds within a 37-minute podcast. This is hugely disappointing because anyone knows that a race commemorating Texas's independence is de facto the greatest race in the world. This is an uncontestable fact. Your listeners are getting ripped off if you do not provide as much coverage of this as possible! Exclamation point. Indeed, you should have entire episodes devoted solely to the TIR. I suppose you may be excused this time." And then Jay went on to say seriously that it's a great event because of the people that participate in it. And he had, of course, invited my running team down there to do what they call the Come and Take It Challenge, which is apparently, I guess, what they say down there for to come down there and do it. And he said it's quite a thing to do to run across the state. And he also took exception to the title of the blog, which is Running in the Center of the Universe, because he said that would only be appropriate if we were running in Texas, and he doesn't think we are. Anyway, Jay was very nice with his email. All that was, of course, tongue-in-cheek. And actually sent me another one. And after I told him that I'd be happy to put his silly comments on my show, he was very complimentary of the podcast. And he says that the Texas Independence Relay is the best racing experience that he's had. So, Jay, thank you so much for the emails. I'm glad you're listening. And he said he doesn't know Rich from the Woodlands, although I kind of thought maybe they knew each other because they were both so into the relay. Maybe they'll run into each other someday. But anyway, Jay is very, very enthusiastic about the Texas Independence Relay. So I told him if it wasn't so far away, I definitely would do it. But it's just a lot of logistics and getting so many people down there. Maybe they have teams that need people from out of state to join in or something. I don't know, but. Anyway, Jay, thanks for the email, and I hope you keep listening to the show. Very cool. Last one is from Rob, and this is Rob from the Ultra Dad podcast. And he said he listened to the relay show from the 24 Hours of Momentum, and he said he likes the comment section and the fact that my dad always has something to say, which is very cool. He was joking me, saying that my dad has a 4Runner that's better than mine. And then he also listens to the show and comments on it. And Robin suggested that I get my dad on the show. What do you think? Well, Rob, I think I might. I'll have to give my dad a call and see if he wants to come out and go for a run with me or something. Or do a little mini interview, find out what he's been up to. I talked to him the other day. He was running, I think, 12 miles this weekend. And he's getting ready for the Richmond Half Marathon, which is November 15th. There's also a full marathon that day. They've added a half marathon this year, and he's going to run that. So he's training for that and getting ready. And he turned 67 this year, and he's still running half marathon distances, which is pretty good. I mean, I think he's going to be running for a while. He's going to be running well into his 70s, and I'm really, really proud of him for doing that. So, Rob, I might just do that maybe in the next couple weeks. Appreciate the comment and the suggestion. Like I said, I'll be running in a 10K race on Saturday morning called the Harvest Run. And that's really just to participate locally. Matter of fact, the route goes right in front of my house, which is pretty cool. And I'd like to announce that next week I'm going to have a special podcast episode. And it's going to be called The Mystery of Endurance. And I've shamelessly plagiarized some material that I've found elsewhere. Some of the material is also original. And I have audio clips. And I just realized that I forgot a race report audio clip from my good friend Tom, which I need to include real quick. I'll put that in here in just a second. And then I'll finish up, I'll close out the show. Sorry about that, Tom, but here's your clip. Race report from his super quick half marathon.
Hey, Dave, this is Tom, and first of all, I'd just like to thank you for doing your podcast every week. I know it's a lot of work, and we really appreciate it. You're coming out with a new episode every week, and the videos are really nice too, because sometimes I get to see myself in those and they're kind of funny. Anyway, I wanted to send you a race report from my worldwide half. I ran a half marathon up in Warren, Pennsylvania, called the Super Quick Half Marathon. I thought it was called Super Quick because, you know, in my mind, I thought it would be all downhill, but I'll talk a little bit more about that later. It wasn't quite all downhill. Anyway, we met at downtown at the local YMCA, and the race started at 9, but they had at 8:15, we were to board school buses, and they were to bus us up to the start. As we were kind of milling around waiting to get on the bus, I started looking around, and you know, all I saw were these guys with like Boston Marathon t-shirts on, and all of them looked about, you know, 120 pounds, and I thought, boy, this is a small race, but it really attracted some very talented runners. Anyway, I started thinking to myself, boy, I hope I don't come in last. That'll be embarrassing. About 8:15, we got on the buses, and they took us up to this place called Kinzu Beach, which is on the Allegheny Reservoir. And, you know, it was 40 degrees in town, but probably by the time we got to the start, it was probably in the 30s, because a little bit up in the mountains, which is perfect running weather for me. We made our way into the parking lot of the beach, and everybody scrambled off the bus. I kind of stayed on the bus and tried to keep warm as long as I could. With about 3 minutes before the race started, I kind of got off the bus and ran up and down the parking lot just to keep warm. And the race started exactly at 9 o'clock. We ran out of the parking lot to the beach and onto a road that runs beside the Allegheny Reservoir. And up in Pennsylvania at that time, the leaves had already changed, so it was really beautiful. And then the trees reflecting down into the reservoir kind of made it like one of those scenes, I don't know if you remember, from Forrest Gump, where he's describing his running adventures to Jenny and how beautiful they were. And kind of reminded me of that. Anyway, the first part of the race was just as I expected. The first 4 miles were a gradual downhill, and you know, we were clipping along at a pretty good pace. And one thing neat about this race is you actually get to run over the Kinzu Dam, which since 9/11 they don't open the dam to tourists anymore. So this is the only time of the year that the dam is actually opened, and we got to run across it. As soon as we crossed the dam, there was this really severe downhill for about, I would say, 3/4 of a mile. We just hit it. You can imagine from the top of the dam, we just headed down a road that basically took us down to the river. And so I'm sure that was my fastest mile of the half marathon. Anyway, that's where my hopes of an all downhill marathon kind of vanished. As soon as we got down to the river, then we hit the pretty much the rolling part of the course. And I wouldn't say they were really tough hills. It was more like really steep downhills and then really steep uphills, you know, for the next 8 or so miles until we got into town. It was a really beautiful run, but the funny thing is, you got to mile town, you were back in mile 12, you got back into town, and you come off this very scenic run along the river, and the first thing you see is this big oil refinery. Well, luckily, the winds were blowing the opposite direction, so we didn't have to, you know, be greeted by the oil smell, but that was about mile 12. We headed back into town, so you had a little over a mile to go back to the YMCA. And my race went really good. I felt really good. I felt a little weak on the uphills, but you know, I think the downhills took a lot out of you. I actually set a PR for the half marathon, and I looked back through all my log books, and my previous PR was back from 1991, back when I was 17 years old. So I felt pretty good about the race. And I kind of waited around, waiting for the results. You know, being a small race, I thought maybe I could squeak out, a third place finish in my age group or something. But ended up coming in fifth in my age group. It was really tough competition, but it was a great run. I look forward to maybe doing it again next year or the year after. Anyway, that's my race report, and thanks again, Dave, for your podcast. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah, what Tom didn't say in his audio clip was that his PR was 1:33.59 for the half marathon, which is simply outstanding. And he was not age 17 in 1991. He's much older than that. So he's also a Boston qualifier. He'll be running Boston in 2009. He was 14th overall in that race. So, Tom, well done, man. Well, thanks, Tom. I appreciate you taking the time to submit that. And hopefully I'll get a clip from you for the Mystery of Endurance show, which I'm putting on next week. That is going to be up, I think, by Friday of next week. I'm going to work on it. It's not going to be a running podcast. It's going to be one I'm going to do here from the desktop. And it's just going to be kind of a conglomeration of various thoughts and opinions and rambling diatribes, to steal from Steve Runner, of different perspectives on endurance running. And I got a couple audio clips I'm going to include in it, and I'll kind of incorporate those in different ways, I think. But I think it'll be pretty cool, and I hope you like it, and I hope you come back next week for that show. I think you'll like it. So this is Ashland Dave. And reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Y'all have a good week.